Body Slams podcast viewers. I am one of your co-analysts. That's right, analysts, not analysts, here on the Body Slams podcast. This is not Breakfast and Body Slams. This is not pop-up pipe bombs. But matter of fact, this is season 3, episode 1 of Thursday Night Slam. That's right. And if you like my t-shirt, the design of Thursday Night Slam, simply go over to BodySlamsPodcast.com. Click on the pod shop. And you can pick yourself up one right there or any one of our other designs whatsoever. And it'll help fund this show where we can constantly keep it running on multiple streaming platforms. I have a treat for you people out there for our very first episode for season 3. This person is absolutely fabulous. And I'm telling you, she's one of the greatest women's champions of all time. And what better way to introduce her than like this?
For Savage Saiyan God, a.k.a. Mrs. Hit That Ho, a.k.a. the Gen Pro Gamma Champion, a.k.a. the Pro Wrestling Magic Women's Champion, the First Lady of Prolific, and the motherfucking woman king of the Mecca, Ruthless Lala.
Yo, when I punch y'all right in the esophagus, like, I don't want to hear nothing. Nothing at all. Don't want to hear it. Nope.
Representing no, Prolific like from Beta Ho, New York.
You know,
he personally made that and sent that to me just for you.
Makes sense, because like he hit me up earlier, like, and I was actually in the gym, and he was like, "Hey, Lala, I'm working on something. You know, I need a couple of things from you." And I was like, "All right." And I was like, "Hey, you know, like I didn't think nothing of it, because you know it's Shane." And then all of a sudden, ta-da! And I was like, "You." Like, I'm sitting here listening to it like, oh, Shane, when I see you. It's not going to be no time soon, but oh, when I see you, Shane. Oh, right in the titty nipple. Right in the titty nipple.
Yeah, I played that for Jocelyn earlier. She died. She loved it. And I was like, you know what? Shane should actually do custom ringtones for people or their voicemails for everyone. We should just pay him for it.
Might as well, yo. Like, Shane is the best, man. Like, I love him to death. That's my homie G Slice Skillet, man. Like, that's my people. Like, anybody that can make me almost cry doing an introduction, it's Shane. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been blessed to be around a lot of good ring announcers, but Shane is by far like my favorite ring announcer, because like when he goes in. And like when he announces everything, like you feel all of that energy. You're just like, let's go, Shane. So shout out to Shane. I love Shane very much. I'm still gonna punch him right in the titty nipple when I see him. But you know, that's not here or there. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, Shane definitely gives you that white glove treatment, especially when you're out there with the rest of Prolif and you're bringing that big dick energy.
That big dick energy. Shout outs to Isaiah Wolf. That is the creator of that. You know, just you know, like a lot of people don't understand that, you know, when they see us sometimes and all of us are in the ring and legitimately you hear or you see us like put our head down, like this is legit, you know, like he just gets like he goes in his own world, you know, and be like, "Hey guys, I feel like we should do this." You'd be like, "Man, whatever." And then all of a sudden, you look at me like, "You did it, didn't you?" "Yes, I did." "You know why?" "Why?" "Because I'm the leader and I can do what the fuck I want." I'm like, "You know what? Well played, my guy. Well played." You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's great, because it's like, yo, it's cool to, you know, swing the belts and, you know, and have Shane. Because like, it's like I said, Shane, once again, is amazing. So when you have Shane come in, it's like, "Hey, bring in that big dick." And just like, "Go, Shane. Go. We're swinging. Everybody is catching it. It's a fucking rap."
And that seems to be a lost art. The presentation of the introduction when you're coming to the ring. A lot of guys just want to hit their music, come in, hey, hey, hi, and you know. But when you have not just one, but a set, a group of people who can come in and do each of their part to the T, and not just prolific. I've seen it before done here on the circuit around the Northeast area by another group known as the GOAT. Those guys, their presentation, the music, everything fits them too. And the same thing with Yous. Yous guys do it just the same way. You come out, you hit all your marks, you know what the fans are looking for, and you give it to them.
But I try, Chio. Like, I really try. I try my hardest.
But when I see certain people, there's no trying. It's like it just comes natural sometimes. And it's just it flows right. It flows just right.
Oh, but thank you.
And like if you had a little attachments there, you could wear each of that the gold on your shoulders as big hoop earrings.
You know what? No, the hell I can't. Like, this, there would be no more Ruthless Lala. Like, legit. Like, this would be the end. Like, do you not know how heavy this is? This shit is heavy. Like, I don't think you, yo, like, I'm still on the verge of trying to figure out whether I want to take these with me to Europe. Cause, like, this shit is heavy. And it makes my gear bag heavier. You know, like, yo, I'm like, I blame wrestling, and I'm gonna tell you why I blame wrestling, because they get you going, they get you pumped, you know what I'm saying? They get you motivated to want to be a representation for the company that you're a part of. You know, like I get a lot of people and like even a lot of wrestlers who are not really much educated, and anytime that they see a belt, they automatically, oh, you know, it's just a prop. It's not a prop, it's a solidification that the company that you work for trusts you to take the company on your back and act like you got some goddamn sense, and not go out here and make the company look like trash because you act like you ain't got no goddamn sense. It's more than just a prop, man. It's more than just a prop. You know what I'm saying? This is a solidification that, hey, I am the best in my field. Don't believe me. Come try me and watch. I walk out still your champion. And that is why I am still your Pro Wrestling Magic Women's Champion since December 31st, 2022. And we're in 23 for the people who don't know where we're at. And I am and will forever be your Gamma, Gen Pro Gamma Champion. Respectfully, argue with your mama, not me. This is what that is. You know, and I have both of these. Because when it comes to the companies that I represent, I put them on my back and I represent them to the fullest of my abilities. I actually have 3 belts, but unfortunately, my best friend is holding that belt hostage because now we're I don't own it by myself now. We're co. You feel me? And I know people are like, what is it? I say, okay, so legitimately, I am me and Sue Young, our tag team, which is Young and Ruthless. We are the longest reigning WSU World Tag Team Champions. And so the time that I went home to go and see my family, I left all my belts with my best friend, the one person that I trust with my life, the one person I'll take a bullet for, you know, and that was Isaiah. And so I get back and I get all my belts except one. And I'm like, yo, where's my belt? And he's like, oh, you mean our belt? That is the, I forgot what he said it was. I think like the Wolf Sanction United or something. He's like, Are tag champions. And I was like, you know, all right, bet. You know what? Okay, fine. You know, so like, yeah, I do have 3 belts, but I only have in my possession 2 belts. So once again, shout out to my crew, my people, Prolific, Marcus Marquis, Tyree Taylor, and the pain in my ass, but my best friend to the very end, my A1 Day 1, Isaiah Wolf. Oh, I'm punching my esophagus. But yes, that's what's popping. That's what we got going on.
Yeah, so I expect this. I don't think I'm gonna see you this Saturday, right? Are you I didn't see you
advertised. Right,
I didn't see you advertised right on the marquee at all.
No, you know why you didn't see it? Because Smiley is a piece of shit, disrespectfully. Smiley is the type of person. He likes to dish it out, but he don't like to take it. You get what I'm saying? I say this with my chest, and I'm gonna be honest. The only reason that Prolific lost the Tri-Wizard belts was because, one, Smiley banned me from ringside. Two, he did a lot of cheating and a lot of underhanded shit that wouldn't have rocked if I was there, because we've had this before. And that's when Smiley got chopped in the ass and Trixie got chopped in the boobie. You know, I mean, that's just what it is. You know, like, nobody messes with my wrestling nephews. You feel me? Like, this is serious. This is inside the ring, outside the ring, IHOP, Waffle House, wherever we at. You know, you mess with my nephews or you mess with anybody that is very dear to my heart, we have a problem. And that's the only reason. So, you know, there's always a saying that is like, eye for an eye. You know, you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. Karma comes back around. And the good thing for Smiley, it spin the block moment. Like, it spin the block instantly. You know, like, isn't that amazing? How and all it was just sending a nice little message and a note of, you know, thank you for this unnecessary fuckery that you put us in. Allow us to rebuttal, you know, in the most respectful manner ever. You feel what I'm saying? Technically, nobody touched anybody, and it was actually Smiley them that was in the wrong. I don't even know who we beat up. Like, they all look the same to me. Disrespectfully. Respectfully, kind of. Nope. I meant it with all the disrespect. I don't know what's going on.
With all the shenanigans going on over there with Smiley, him taking over the management from our beloved Shane Fair. He has a chokehold right now on somewhat what's going on around Magic. Prolific didn't even get a rematch, which you would think, obviously, you would get a rematch, you know, but that's not even happening at the next
Prolific
show.
Prolific is suspended until further notice. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Prolific is suspended. We do have our lawyers that are working on things. I am sorry to the fans who are going to get to see this, and put this down real quick. I am so sorry that y'all are going to have to unfortunately deal with seeing Smiley's ugly ass. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry you got to deal with his crew and their craziness. This is not on Prolific. We will be back sooner than later. He can laugh how he wants to right now, but I promise you, once again, just like Karma spin the block, it's going to spin the block again. You know what I'm saying? And once again, Smiley and Project Mayhem is going to reap what they sow, respectfully.
Oh, trust me. It's not just use. There's a whole line forming of people in the locker room that are currently headhunting Smiley. They all want their just dues. And for a lot of messed up business decisions he's been making, he owes a lot of people big time. He's in debt where he's writing checks where his ass cannot cash. That's what he's doing. And he's making a habit of it.
Real quick, is this on YouTube?
It's on everything.
Because, like, I done tried to send this to people, and for some reason, they can't see it because, you know, you're Mr. Private and everything. So it's cool.
Oh, it's not on my YouTube. It's on the Body Slams podcast page on YouTube.
You know what? Chill, we don't have a fight.
If they go to up here, bodyslamspodcast.com, all the links are there. And I even have a stream on the website itself that it will show people on there as well. I have the Twitch linked up to that as well. So if they do that, they can click right on there and check it all out. But I was going through your profiles, looking up a couple different pages of write-ups, and I guess you started what, back in 2004, I want to say. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I think one said one, and then the other one had a different date. So I just was trying to clarify, and I was looking
As I graduated early, actually, 03, and after I graduated, I legitimately got my first job, which was Starbucks in the airport, and I literally took my first paycheck and got my first phone. My mom was very upset about it. She was very angry. My mom was not very happy about this at all. My car, and like my first car was a 1996 Honda Accord. I remember. Oh my Jesus. And then after that, I went and I put down the down payment and paid for my training. Now, here's the thing, though. I have been paying my dues in professional wrestling since I was 14 years old.
Yeah, I read somebody, there was a write-up where someone did an interview with you, and I think they had it as a essay or interview type thing for it, but it was written up like a paper typed up, and it said about you being a runner at a show and at a young age, and I guess there were some miscommunications and you had to leave.
Yeah.
Come back. Yeah, it didn't go into all the details. It gave me brief, small summaries as I was breaking it down, listening to everything, and just like any diehard loving wrestling fan growing up, though, when it's bedtime or whatever, I heard someone had to sneak to watch wrestling or watch TV to catch some of the action.
See now you're doing the most. You're doing the most. Now I don't know how to feel about this, Chio. Like you're getting all into my man. You know,
I'm gonna get punched in the throat. That's what's gonna happen.
You know, respectfully. You know, respectfully. Thank you very much. Man. With me, I'm a preacher's kid, and I know, like, at any time that I mention, you know, I'm a preacher's kid, everybody has so much craziness to say, because, like, oh, you know, you preacher's kids, you know, are the worst, and I'd be like, yo, this is not true, this is not true at all, but then there's some truth to it at the same time, but, you know, mind your business. I was a preacher's kid, and I led a very sheltered life, man. And so, like, legitimately, what people don't understand is I didn't wear my first pair of pants until I was 18 years old. I didn't get my ears pierced until I was 18. You feel what I'm saying? At that time, my mom, religion that she was a part of was Pentecostal. And if anybody knows Pentecostal, you know, everything's the devil. You feel me? Like everything, you know. Oh, is that red toothpaste? You're going to hell. Like, it's just the worst thing ever. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was horrible, you know. So I used to sneak, man. Like the hours that I was supposed to be asleep as a kid wasn't really running for me as a kid, you know. So but it sucked because I'm old. It doesn't matter. You know, I'll take that. Legitimately, back in the day, we had the big TV that's on the floor. You know, like if the knob breaks, you got to get the pliers and grip it.
Oh,
and
the console,
you
turn on,
you get that flash in the back. Right. Regardless, like no matter how you just try to. It's still just chewing. You hear that big click, you're like, anybody hear that? No, I think I'm good. Okay, bet. We're good. Cool. And then I was just, I was going through the channels, and all of a sudden, if wrestling fell upon me, and I was like, yo, these dudes are, why are they hitting each other like this? And from then on out, man, I literally tuned in every week trying to see if I was going to see it again. I thought that maybe it was a one-time thing because came Sunday, I tried to look for it, didn't see it, Monday, Tuesday, and I was like, people think I'm tripping. People think I'm tripping. And I saw it again, and I was like, oh, okay, I think it comes on all Saturdays. Okay, bet, you know. And from there, man, I became a diehard fan, and then heard about WCW, and I was like, oh, what's this? Why are they beefing? What is Monday Night Wars? You know what? Let me go look. And then I end up getting into WCW. And then in the process of getting into WCW and WWF at the time, I saw a couple of Japanese wrestlers that caught my eye. And then I went to go check them out. Takamishinoku, like, oh, nephew! Takamishinoku, like, legitimately, that right there, like, I got to meet that man. And I cried. I'm not going to hold you. I cried. I cried, but it's okay.
Once we get our first taste and then another taste, it wrestling becomes an addiction. It gets in our blood. And a lot of people don't realize how addicting it's like, hey, look, you're addicted to your soap operas. This is mine. Leave me the hell alone. You go do you. I'm going to do me. Plain and simple.
Pretty much. It's like, hey, ha, 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 mind your business.
Yeah, two gentlemen, I believe I read that you had as your trainers, I guess, let me see, Steve DeMarco and
Sexy Steve
Hugh Rogue.
Right? sexy Sexy Steve DeMarco and Hugh. Oh, so okay. When I first actually started out in professional wrestling, the trainers that I started out with was Lance Hoyt, BJ Turner, and Steve DeMarco. I finished my training with Steve DeMarco, and then I had the pleasure and the honor of becoming family with Hugh Rogue, who I've watched like literally damn near kill people in the ring, because you know he's when it comes to death matches in Texas, he is one of the king of death matches when it comes to Texas. Like you can't, like in Texas, you can't mention Masada without mentioning Hugh Rogue. You know what I'm saying? You can't mention two of these individuals without mentioning XCW. You know, Knight Davis is somebody that, you know, brought Extreme to Texas. You feel me? Denton, Texas, to be exact. And like, it's something that you didn't see at other shows. You know, like it was like, if I could say how XCW was, XCW, if XCW was a movie, it would be Footloose. You feel me? Like it was not prohibited at any other wrestling shows. You know, if you want that, then you all stop that. You know, like if you wanted that extreme hardcore, you know, just ruthless behavior, like you went to XCW and you always walked in and walked out with your money's worth. And the one thing that I always loved about it, and I always end up telling other promotions, I was like, yo, in the beginning, the announcer comes out and he announces, hey, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're having a blast. Here are the rules. Do not touch the wrestlers. Do not spit on the wrestlers. Because do not get it twisted, they will fuck you up. And it was always a disclaimer in the beginning. It's like, yo, if you do this, you're done. And sometimes you would always get the one person that can't hold their liquor and would try to see if it's true. And oh, it was the best thing ever. Shout out to XCW. Shout out to Knight Davis. Shout out to my mentor. Actually, my mentors was Hero, Big Sed, and my late mentor who passed away December 3rd last year, Sid Murder. That was my people. Those are people that I can truthfully say that helped me become the hard ass that I am. You know, not to mention I had a chance to, you know, work with Ray Rowe and Crazy Mary Dobson, and you know, I've known Jazz and Rodney Mack since I was 14 years old, and you know, it's like, I'm not trying to get emotional, but it's like I've been going through so much, and like I haven't talked to him, like I haven't been able to see them in like forever. And like my old tag team partner, we made amends. You know, like people go through stuff at certain times, and like we made amends, and he told me to call yesterday, and I called, and like I got to see Rodney, I got to see Jazz, you know, and it was like the greatest thing ever, bro. And you know, just to have them tell me how much, you know, like they love me and they're proud of me, like that meant more than anything, because it's like anybody else that's here, like they know me, you know, like they've known me since I was 14 years old, you know. And I've had the pleasure of watching them get signed by WWF and go and show out, you know what I mean? And so it's like, and they never changed on me. There's a lot of people that who's known me, and when they got them opportunities, they changed up like real quick. And I can truthfully say that Rodney and Jazz never changed. They always call me their niece. It's always been auntie and uncle. And it's like, just to talk to them and just get all the words of encouragement and everything, it meant more to me than like I can even explain, man. You know, it kind of gave some of that reassurance, you know what I mean? You know, that I needed at the time and place where I'm at right now, you know, physically and mentally and, you know, and spiritually. So it's just, oh, you're not crying out.
You're good. Cause you know, it, like, as real as you are, that you come across some people, you know, you are much loved. Sincerely, you do show a side of you that's genuine, and people love that for you. And, matter of fact, I have somebody else that might want to say something to you as well.
Damas y caballeros, this is former WWE superstar and owner of Three Laces Wrestling, Ricardo Rodriguez. I want to give a huge shout out to my amiga, the ruthless Lala, of course, respectfully. And I want to show that appreciation, love, and she's awesome. And one day, and I'm still waiting for that day that we get to lock horns inside that ring. Keep kicking ass, guys.
Hey. I can't even bullshit. Oh my God. I just invited all my friends to come and see me cry like a baby back bitch. I said
you are loved. Most definitely. You are loved around the industry, all the way from Texas to the time when I think I read you moved to what, Nashville?
Yeah.
And stuff. All the way up to the time, you know, you've been taking people's heads off with the Lariat. Up to the point to where tragedy stuck, where you had to step away from the ring for a little bit. Do you mind telling us a little bit about when you were in the hospital?
I've literally been in the hospital. Throughout my whole life, to be honest. I'm not afraid to say it. I am 38 years old. I have been battling with a chronic skin disease called hidradenitis suppurativa. If you can't spell that, just type in on Google, what is HS? I've been dealing with that for damn near almost as long as I've been a professional wrestler. I've beat melanoma skin cancer before. It's been the worst, and it's been a blessing as well. It started getting bad for me when I was in the Rio Grande Valley. That's where I was working for the NWA Wrestling Revolution in McAllen, Texas, at the Cena El Rey Theater. Shout out to Bert. I love Bert. That was by far one of the dopest owners and bosses that I ever had best time working for. I was down there because, like, I really wanted to be the best professional wrestler that I could, and like, I just wanted to be great. And I felt like in order to be great, you have to go everywhere, you know, and learn everything, you know, and just apply it to your arsenal. And so I started in Dallas, wrestled everywhere in Dallas, Fort Worth, Bedford, places that I didn't even know was in Texas. You feel me? Shout out to USWX. I wrestled in Onalaska, Texas. I didn't even know that was a place. There's so many places, man. Like I wrestled all over Texas and Austin, San Antonio, Corpus Christi, like all these places. And then I got down to McAllen and it was cool because it's like, it was cool, but it was scary because I didn't see a lot of black people. And I was like, I don't think I'm in the right place. And like, when I finally saw another black person like me, I was like, oh, hey. And they saw me and said, hey, yay. You know, and it was, you know, but at the same time, it wasn't like they were bad, like races or anything. It was just, you know, that was more, we were literally 15 minutes away from Mexico.
Understand exactly what you're saying, because up here up north when I broke in there, I didn't get to see many guys my brown complexion myself either, though, except for a few here and there.
Right. At the time, my mom was still in Grand Prairie, Texas with my two kids, and things end up going wrong with the housing and how everything was going. And so I stopped and dropped everything that I was doing. And I literally went and got my mom and my kids and brought them down to the Rio Grande Valley. Had no plan at all because it happened like automatically. I was just like, yo, I'm going off of survival mode. You know, we got there securely. It was the longest drive my mom and my kids had ever dealt with driving, and was like, this is never happening again. Like, I don't want this to happen again. And I was just like, oh God, no, mom. She's like, no, no. I said, no, we're not doing this. I was like, bet, mom, I got you. And so then I got down there and I got like, I was working like three jobs. I was wrestling. When I got through wrestling, I was a bouncer. When I wasn't bouncing, I was working at the Spirit Halloween store Monday through Friday. But I got off early Friday because it was time for wrestling. When I got through with wrestling, I literally, with gear, walked. I pretty much Santino walked all the way down, like about five blocks, to the bar where I, you know, where I'm a bouncer and I check IDs and everything at the door and still in my gear. Hey, somebody will come for me and be like, hey, I got you. I'll go get into my outfit and everything. And then it was that. And then I started having four jobs because then after I became a bouncer, I ended up becoming a licensed security guard. And so it was just a lot. I was moved around a lot. And then I ended up getting really sick. And that's when I found out that I had melanoma skin cancer. I had no fucking idea. And then I was actually in my fourth. I was actually going into the fourth trimester of it. And had no fucking idea, man. In the hospital for a good minute. Was on the news. I went through the most. I thought I was gonna die. I remember like calling my mother and like trying to like give my goodbyes. And I remember, and, you know, my mom is a minister. She's like, the devil is a lie, you know. And like it was a lot of prayer. I remember Mika. Mika Villa, that's like a sis to me. Like, I remember she did a GoFund for me. Like, there was a lot of people that came and helped, and you know, by prayers and the grace of God, I beat it. And I remember that I never forget it because I was in the hospital, and anybody who knows me know that I'm a huge fan of Pentagon Jr. And like I was massively huge into Pentagon, Phoenix, Lucha Underground, even AAA, like all of that. And they got Pentagon Jr. to send me a get well soon. It was in all Spanish, so I had to get somebody to like, you know, translate. And it was the greatest thing ever because he literally said, get well soon or I'm gonna break your arm. And I was like, he said, fuck breaking kayfabe. Fuck breaking kayfabe. Hey, get better or I'm going to break your arm. I don't know how that's going to help me, but hey, I got better. And actually, you know, I beat it. And then on top of that, I was able to be Phoenix manager when he wrestled Pentagon for the Pedro de Mas tournament. And like, I felt like I was on cloud nine. And then everything was going great for a second. And then the house that I had bought for my mom and my kids and put them in became massively infested with every rodent and creature you could think of. The landlord literally went to Wisconsin and shoveling snow and didn't give a shit. And here you go again. Another fundraiser, you know, to help, you know, so I can get my family out of this situation. Finally did move my family to Killeen, Texas. They're in Killeen, Texas. Man, here comes this chronic skin disease, HS, coming in. Shay, I'm going to punch you in the titty nipple. I love you. Respectfully. got back to Killeen, man, and it got worse. I was going through it. And I had to retire. I had to step away from wrestling because I couldn't wrestle anymore. Like I was massively sick. I was so swollen. Like I was unrecognizable to me. And that was the first time that I stepped away and like just tried to like fight a man and get better. And then once I got better, I was actually, you know, able to come back and start back slowly but surely, and boom, everything was good. And then here comes the HS one more time, you know, and saying, hey, sit your ass down. And I was like, wow. And this happened. And now I'm out for a year and a half. Didn't know if I was going to come back, you know. And it was scary because it's like every other week I was always in the hospital. Like even when I was in Tennessee, like every other month, you know, I'm being admitted into the hospital because I had a massive flare up. Like I can't put my arms down because like, I'm like it literally looked like two softballs under both of my armpits to where I couldn't put anything down, you know, like, and it's not just the armpit area. It's like over my whole body, you know, and it fucks with my self-esteem, you know, it fucks with my mental, you know, like a lot of people see, you know, this great person, but you know, I honestly, when I wake up in the morning, like I feel like a freak of nature, you know what I mean? Like it's hard because, you know, like I have massive major depression because of how long I've been dealing with this and just like how the complications with my health has been. And, you know, and it's like just talking to you about it now is, you know, it really shows that, you know, I surpassed a lot of shit, you know, and like I'm still here, and like I'm massively grateful, and I'm massively proud of myself that, you know, that I didn't give up, that I had the right people, you know, in my corner, you know, helping me and like, yo, you're gonna come back. Like I said, you know, the only reason that, you know, one of the main reasons is two people that was constantly talking to me outside of Mika and my other sister Lala, and that was Isaiah Wolf and that was Deshaun Pratt. You know, like these are two people that was like, yo, you know, you got this. Like, you're gonna come back. I was like, no, nah, dude, I'm not gonna come back. Like, ain't nobody gonna remember me. It's gonna be horrible, bro. Like, who cares? Like, yo, like I didn't leave a mark, and I came back. And when I came back, like the love and just the support was something that was amazing, because, you know, it was I didn't know what was gonna happen, because, you know, even around this time, I had people who were supposed to have been family, you know, acting really stupid. So it was just so much given into context of what was going to really happen. And, you know, I'm glad that I trusted the people that was in my life, and I got rid of the highly unnecessary negative people out of my life. You know, I like to call them pop-up blockers. And, you know, and like all the positivity is coming in, you know, and like, you know, if it wasn't for my mom, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for people in my life, you know, praying for me and sending me, you know, all the good juju energies, however you want to call it, you know, I wouldn't be here now. You know, I know a lot of people want to always tell people, hey, you know, if anybody is going to love you, you know, it's going to be you, nobody else. Yeah, but then no, you know, like there's people, genuine people out here that gives a fuck about other people's well-being as well as them, you know. And if you don't have those people in your life, then you're around the wrong people, because what a friend is there, and they're going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And if these are not the things that you want to hear, then you don't put them people in your life. But people fail to realize, once you allow people to come into your life and into your world, you are also letting them, giving them the permission to criticize certain things in your life. If you're fucking up, they're gonna get in your ass. Hey, get your shit together. You know what I mean? So it's I just really appreciate the people that were around me and that kept their foot on my neck, sort of saying, was like, hey, you're coming back, you got this. You know, like it meant a lot.
Yeah, I see that constantly throughout life myself, where like you see more friends and associates or coworkers or whatever who look out for you and don't look for anything in return. And then you got family members who pop up out of nowhere. And for some reason, like, why are you here? I never hear you any time. Now you're trying to. And next thing you know, they got their hand out. I'm like, dude, go away. But I know how you mentioned that. They had the GoFundMe. You had your son, the shirt designs on sale too as well. Speaking of shirts, for anybody who wants any Ruthless Lala t-shirts, jump over to ProWrestlingTees.com. And that's right. All you got to do is type in her name, Ruthless Lala. She has multiple shirts on this.
Three new ones.
Right. A total of seven altogether, right there from what I can see. So, do not hesitate to jump over to personaltees.com. Pick up your Ruthless Lala shirt. Show her support.
Pick it up.
Show up to the show. And hey, if you're at the event.
Pick it all up. Yeah. The more people buy t-shirts, the more this is going to help me, you know, be good while I'm in Europe. You feel what I'm saying? So, hey, go buy the t-shirts. Donate. I don't care. Go and get it. You feel me? Like, yo, let's go. If I see you at a show and you have the shirt on, I will definitely sign it. It's not a problem.
That's what's up. That's right. You don't want to miss out and get that. And I know you quick jumped in with that outburst. Will Johnson, he mentioned, well, that was a Lala outburst for you. Ha, ha, ha. He was mentioning that about, because you said that to Shane Fear, which our buddy Shane. Yeah, he did that nice introduction, and Shane has some kind words for you as well.
Oh God,
Lala is an unforgettable presence. Whether it's in the ring, whether it's in the locker room, or whether it's in your life, Lala is the type of person that really makes this wrestling locker room a family. You know, that term is kind of disingenuously thrown around a lot of times, but you really feel when Lala's in the locker room that you're amongst family. You know, auntie, you know, that's playfully, you know, the moniker that is associated with her, but you know, there's truth to that. Like, she is family. You know, she wears a heart on her sleeve. You know, her triumphs as well as her tribulations, you'll see. You know, she's vocal. Like, when she's hurting, you'll see it on Facebook, you know? And, like, she's there for you. She's the first one in your DMs when you're hurting, you know? Like, she's just a real person, like, you know? And she's the most authentic human being that I think I've encountered. And, I love her. You know, she's been there for me. I've been there for her when she needs it. And she is a presence, you know? She is a star. She is a superstar, you know? When she's suited up and she's got that Anubis gear on and the contacts on and she's about to come out, you know, like you know you're in the presence of greatness. You're in the presence of something special. And the best part is, I think now we're finally seeing her reap all the rewards, like the Gen Pro Gamma Championship, the Pro Wrestling Magic Women's Championship. She was a reigning and defending BCW Women's Championship for so long as well. You know, you're seeing the accolades that have been earned, hard earned all this time, finally coming to fruition for her. And it's just joyous as a fan, as a friend, and just as someone who appreciates the contributions of Ruthless Lala. It's great to finally see her on that pedestal that she's deserved for all this time. And this is the victory lap, and I hope she's smelling the roses and smelling the flowers that everyone's bringing her, because they are certainly present. And can't wait to see Ruthless Lala on the next stage, which is, you know, she's smashing her head on a ceiling right now. You know, the ceiling is imprinted with the Anubis mask. So I think we have only begun to see the rise of the Ruthless Lala, and that's bewildering, because it's already been a meteoric rise as it is. So love the Ruthless Lala, and hope you hold on to all those championships. And you know, I hope that you're appreciating all the accolades and love that are so evident for you.
Oh, I'm punching him in his esophagus. I swear to God. Oh, Jesus. Oh my God.
I already know I'm in trouble when I see you. So
all of y'all up. This is bullshit. Oh my God. I appreciate it, but it's bullshit. God.
Hey, it's Lala appreciation night.
Then y'all gonna send me into like my next interview, like crying and be like, oh my God, what happened? Fucking Chio. Chio did it. He fucking did it.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
So what's on the horizon for you right now? You came back to wrestling. First time I met you, you worked Karen Bam Bam, I believe. It was over at the Super Crazy building. That's the first time we met face to face. But when I went back and looked at the Facebook page, we were actually friends years prior to that, though. See, I have a habit of, like, I'll go through Facebook and or whatever page is popular, and I'll see which wrestlers that, you know, that intrigue me. Like, oh, wow, this person looks cool. I like their gimmick. I like the way their style, this and that. Da, da, da. You know what? I'm going to send them a friend request. See if they, you know, see that. And I try to follow. So I was following you on Facebook, but once in a while, I think we commented or liked each other's stuff here and there, but we never interacted until we actually met. And then I started seeing you on more shows. And now it's quite frequently, I'm just going to get my ass kicked. So,
I will say this, when I do come back, when I do return, No BDE. When I do come, when I do return from Europe, Jesus Rodriguez is on that list of people to throw down with, definitely. Much love to you, Shane. I massively appreciate you, man. Like, nothing but love and respect, man. Nothing but love and respect, bro.
Jesus, he definitely got to get you over. You prolific over there to Three Legacies Wrestling. I think they could do great things because their women's division is a little small, but it's growing. It's slowly growing. And as far as teams go, they need more teams out there too. We had a couple teams come in. They're shining, but we definitely need a nice tag team division build up, though.
Everybody needs that big dick energy. You know, all the promotions need that big dick energy, baby, respectfully. You know. So, you know, Prolif is about big dick energy. You feel me? We be swinging, respectfully, with positivity.
From the windows to the wall. Lala, I want to thank you very much for coming on. I really highly appreciate it. I didn't mean to have you crying, but it was just appreciation that, you know, because when I looked up and some of the stuff like what you've been through, and like I'm like, you know what? She's here fighting. She's put it, and she's honing it down. She's working everywhere. I'm seeing her at Magic. I'm seeing her at Garden Estate, the new company. I'm seeing her wherever. Like I'm constantly seeing you though. So, and again, I'm gonna have to dig in you one more time. I'm sorry, but we have somebody else. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Why I love Ruthless Lala. One, she's one of a kind. She's also a one-of-a-kind pain in my ass, but that's one of the special things about her. She's been my ride or die since I broke into this business and continued to, and she was with me when I was terrible. And she's been here during my development, my growth, so I'm honored to have her as the first lady of Prolific. I'm honored to have her as my bestie, and I'm also honored to have her, you know, by me at ringside or across the ring as my opponent from time to time. But like I said, man, love you, Lala. Hope you appreciate this.
Oh, I'm gonna fuck him up when I see him Saturday. We gotta ride together to Maryland. This is bullshit. Oh, when I end this goddamn interview, I'm gonna fucking shit, dude.
I figure I saved the best for last for you. Take it in. All the appreciation, all the love that everyone's showing you, all that big dick energy that's being thrown around. We love you. You know it. We love you.
Man, oh shit, yo. And it's been really like it's not that I don't appreciate it. It's just like if I could really like begin to go into details with all the bullshit that like I'm dealing with even to this day right now, you know, it's a lot. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I with everything that I have going on, like I feel more of a problem and an inconvenience and a bother to people more than, you know, than all this love that I'm being showed, you know, and just to see it, you know, because like I've had a lot of people that, you know, would give me props, you know, in my face. But then when it came to social medias, you know, these people act like they didn't know me, you know, or had no idea who I was, you know. And so it's like just having people who are not afraid to claim me as their friend and is not embarrassed to have me, you know, around them, that means so much to me, you know. And this, I really do appreciate it because it's helped more than what y'all know. And like, oh, this is so fucked up. I'm gonna fuck Isaiah up, and I'm gonna see you two motherfuckers when I get back from Europe. Oh, that is y'all ass. Oh my god.
I think Shane Sweet already got the hideouts.
Oh.
Breathe. Wipe your eyes. Blow your nose. You got another hour with another show. in approximately 10 minutes. So I don't want to definitely hold you up. Do you have any final words for all your loving friends out there or anyone who's tuned in?
Oh, sweet mother of mercy. Oh, this is going to be a long list, but it's going to be really quick because like we're going to put it together. Pro Wrestling Magic and Gen Pro, thank y'all for trusting me and to carry the company, to carry the vision, and to put prestige on it. I don't take this lightly at all. I don't just be like, all right, it is what it is. Like, I take this with a grain of salt. I protect these titles as how I protect my loved ones, you know, and that's with my last breath. I appreciate y'all for just letting me be me. Garden State Pro, thank you for letting me be me and appreciating me as the ruthless individual that I am. Joakim, Joe K, Battle Club Pro, Fallout Shelter, like, these guys have opened their arms to me. I have had the honor of coming in as well as Prolific and doing seminars and helping out the guys and gals. And like, Joakim let me beat up women, men, who, Gino, you feel what I'm saying? Like, you know, I get to beat up anybody. And, you know, he trusts me that anybody he puts me in the ring with, I'm going to take care of. And like, for that, all the love and support that he shows me, I will forever appreciate it. Shout out to Tim Cross with Real Shoot Wrestling. I forever love you, man, and respect you. I cannot go on without mentioning Pro Wrestling R, Ron Starr. I've known Ron for a very long time, even when his knees were good. They never were. shout out to Ron and what he's doing at Pro Wrestling R. I'm going to try not to get emotional about this because I've been with Comeback Zone wrestling since 2015. I witness people try to drag, try to, you know, cancel CZW and the people that are part of it. And I never moved. I stayed with CZW. I will forever stay with CZW. I don't care how people feel, you know, like, I get it. People change, people go through shit. I claim CZW, and I don't just claim CZW, I claim DJ High. That's my wrestling dad. That is somebody who took me in, had my back, showed me the massive respect, let me be the beast that I wanted to be, you know, entrusted me, never disrespected me. I never had to deal with anything racist, sexist, or nothing. Like, DJ has always watched out for me, as well as Key. And these are just people that I really appreciate, as well as the rep, as well as, you know, Jimmy before he passed away, you know, like Gabby and Aaron and Boom and, you know, DK before he passed. Like, there's a lot of people at CZW who have blossomed into something amazingly beautiful. And I am so proud to still be around and to be a part of this company. And I'm proud to be going overseas to Europe and representing CZW, as well as having my best friend there with me. That means more to me than anything. I am the queen of CZW. And the fact that that is a position and a promotion that was not bestowed upon me, but something I busted my ass for. And like, all I can talk about CZW all day because I love that company. I love the people that are in it. You know, like, it's not a job when I go to CZW. It's not a job when I go to Pro Wrestling Magic. It's not a job when I go to Gen Pro. It's me getting together with my family and having a great time. You know, I can't leave out We Are Wrestling. You know, I love Pete. Pete has let me have fun and has let me go on a lariat extravaganza, and that's something that is amazing to me because I love it. If you know me, you know. Man, I'm like, there's, I just have so much like love, and like, I have to give a shout out to one person, and I hope he's watching. If not, I'm gonna like go tell him to watch this because I have to say this. I have to absolutely get a shout out to somebody very close and dear to me that has been my friend, that has never changed on me, and that's White Mike. He is in Carolina, literally training some up and coming stars. He is a phenomenal person. White Mike doesn't get his flowers, and I want to give White Mike his flowers. He's a two-time AML champion. His accolades of him being a tag team champions with Timmy Lou Redden when they were the Gymnasty Boys is beyond anything crazy. Like I tell White Mike privately, and I say it publicly. I've seen people look at White Mike like he was just a laughing stock, and I've been literally seeing Mike laugh his way to the bank with all these bucks and bags that he's making. And like I could like yo, I love you, White Mike. I'm massively proud of you, bro. Keep doing it. Shout out to LeBron, Cazone, Fire Pro Wrestling. Fire Pro, 5-star pro wrestling. He gonna fuck me up. I'm so sorry. It's also in Carolina. My nephew Malachi, Cam, Hunter, I'm proud of you, bro. Bounty Keith, that's my dude. I'm massively proud of everything that he's done. We're all from Texas. Mysterious Q, Texas. Man, there's so much love. Alex Kane, that's somebody that I've been on the roads with before he got to the superstar mode. You feel me? Like, I'm massively proud of him. We used to go off, like, Atlanta, get in the car, do the Mo's, be messing with Snapchat filters and say they're racist because they wouldn't pick up my skin tone complexion. Great times, but that's for another time. Legitimately, man, like, Jobber Tears podcast, Smart Psychology podcast, Venomous Smoke podcast, Public Enemy podcast, like Go for the Pen podcast, the podcast I'm about to do now, Knuckleheads. Like, if I forgot a podcast, I promise you it's not on purpose. High Side of the Ropes. Those guys, All About Wrestling podcast, the Call Out podcast. I can't forget my nephews, the Dirty Heel podcast. I can't forget my Grow Gang sponsorship. Those are my sponsors. I love them. Shout out to Smoke Factory as well as sponsoring me. There's so many people that I want to thank, and I don't want nobody to feel like I'm leaving them out. Massive shout out to my trainer, Steve DeMarco. I love you, man. And like I say this all the time, and I really mean it. Thank you for giving me the tools to become the wrestler that I am. Shout out to his lovely wife, his my sis. I love you. If my nephews are watching, I love y'all very much. Shout out to Texas for dealing with me and then pretty much not appreciating me so I can go out and give my love to everybody else. Everybody that has ever supported me and has gave two fucks about me as well as my well-being, thank y'all so very much. It literally means more to me than I can explain. And if I tried to explain it right now, I would be in tears again. And I think y'all have seen enough of that already. And Chio, thank you. Oh, God damn it, P, go away. Fuck. Shit. Man, God. Yo, man, like legit, like I really appreciate y'all for, you know, seeing the fuck. Here I go again. Like I just appreciate y'all seeing the superstar that I can't see at times. It really means a lot to me. I can't leave out Alex. Shout out to Alex and Invictus. I made my debut, had a blast, gave Alex a hard time on purpose. I love that guy. And I appreciate, you know, him and the rest of everybody else in management for letting me come in and rock and do what I do. I can't forget about your sports podcast, Big Dre. I love you, man. I appreciate you. He is pretty much our wise man of prolific. And shout out to, last but not least, shout out to my nephew, Tyree Taylor. When we're together, we're the Lariat Twins. Shout out to Marcus Marquis, the new golden standard, a.k.a. Marquis State of Mind. Last but not least, the motherfucker I'm going to beat up this weekend. Shout out to my best friend, my A1 Day One, Isaiah Wolf. I appreciate y'all for just rocking with me. You know, I can't forget. I got to give a massive shout out, and it's 9 o'clock. I got to give a massive shout out to my bro, Corey Dillinger, Mr. What's Your Network. He's doing big things. He did graduate from Rose Academy. Make sure y'all holler at him and book him. I appreciate him for also, you know, being there for me when I needed him and having my back. Oh shit, there's so many more people, but I can't because I gotta go do this other interview. Oh, I hate y'all. Y'all made my emotions, but I love y'all very much. Thank you so much, Chio. Everybody, just for all the love. Like, I really do truly appreciate y'all, man. And it means more than I'll ever be able to explain. So just thank y'all so much.
Right, we'll definitely got to have you on another time just so you can finish all your shout outs. Just an hour's worth of shout outs. It's just going to be
Lala, Mama Renegade, Mika, Joseph, Jordan, everybody. I love y'all. My Renegade, to the Renegade twins, my nieces, Charlotte and Robin, I love y'all. And I'm proud of y'all. Keep killing it. Man, I'm going to stop. Pretty Boy Smooth, stop running from me. I'm going to punch you in your face. And Joe Black is a punk. There we go. Bam.
Hey, everyone, I hate to cut her off. It's 9 o'clock. She has another podcast to do at 9 o'clock right now. So, Lala, thank you very much. Love you. Love everybody loves you. I'll see you. I'll be wearing a neck brace just so for cushion.
Nope. You're getting fucked up. Disrespect and respect. I love y'all. I'm out.
All right, peace. Yeah, sorry for she had a quick head up out of here. She had another podcast to do right away, right now, actually. So hopefully she's jumping on that and getting it done. But yeah. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Everyone who chimed in the chat room. If you can, please go share this after it's posted. Go share this, whether it be YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. I just say just post a YouTube link once I repost it after the show's over. You'll all find it on Facebook. I'll send it again on Facebook. It'll just and you guys can share it to everyone then. But yeah, this is Chio. Thank you for tuning in to Thursday Night Slam here on the Body Slams podcast. That's right. Go to .com, like, share, comment, subscribe, hit that notification button to find out when we are live. That's right. We are exclusively on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, even LinkedIn, too, as well. You can also follow us on Instagram as well. Go to our pod shop on thepodcast.com and you can pick up this Thursday Night Slam tea as well as our Breakfast and Body Slams, pop-up playgrounds, and whatever else we have on there. We also have glasses, fanny packs, and stuff like that. All the proceeds go to help keeping this run on multiple platforms. We appreciate everybody for jumping on and tuning in. Thank you. Thank you to Shane Fair for his contribution to this podcast with the intro, showing the love and appreciation to Lala as well. Thank you for Jesus Ricardo Rodriguez for jumping on and showing his love, as well as Isaiah Wolf. Oh, he's going to get jacked up overseas and in the car ride. I don't know. It just might be a whole weekend full of that big dick energy of getting his ass whooped by Lala. But it is what it is, and hopefully we'll see everyone back again on this Sunday at 10 a.m. as we will give you the Three Legacies Wrestling results show Friday night, the 19th, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Three Legacies Wrestling, as well as Pro Wrestling Magic the next night on the 20th in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey at the Phil Sheraton Building. That's two shows you don't want to miss out on. And, yo, thanks for tuning in once again. We'll see you at the matches. I'm Chio. This is the Body Slams podcast. And we out.